Blog Talk Radio.
Have tuned in to Home, Helen Arm, Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I hear the scripture saying, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. We come today and to exalt the name of the Lord our God on today and to lift him up through. And I want to say I am so excited that you have joined me. Yes, you, and you. I am extremely excited about what God is doing and going to do in and through your life. So come right on in and make yourself right at home. Truly, God is going to tremendously bless you and your children and children's children. Truly, it is a promise unto the people of God that they will be blessed. And so on today, I have a beautiful, beautiful lesson that I will be sharing with you on today. And we're going to be talking about one of the miracles of Christ from the book of Mark. And this particular miracle is going to be Christ on board. And it's going to be found in the book of Mark, chapter number 4, verses 35 through 31. So grab your Bible and read along with me. Also, there's other passages of scriptures, too, that you can look at as well in your hearing for maybe perhaps later on. And that'll be over in Psalm 1, verse number 3. Look at some of these Psalms and read them in your hearing on today as part of the backdrop of our lesson for today. Okay, let's take a look on today. And we'll first of all, we'll go to Mark chapter 4. And I'll give you the scriptures as we go. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41 reads, and the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. When they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him over other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on the pillow. And they awaked him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey? And then we're going to look at, for our key verse is going to be Mark chapter 4, 39. And it reads on this line, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. On today, we're going to be looking at Christ on board. And as I was stating earlier, we are going to look at some of the scriptures as a backdrop. And one of them is Psalms chapter number 1, verses number 1 through 3, and I'll read it in your hearing. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The other scripture we're going to look at is Psalms chapter number 12. As well, and another part of our lesson for today. And that reads over, and this should be Psalms 121, verse number 4. And I said Psalms 4, but that's Psalms 121, verse number 4. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither sleep nor slumber. Then we want to look at Luke chapter number 8 and verse number 12. And again, I'm going to read it in your hearing for the sake of time on today. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Finally, our last scripture that we'll look at today is going to be found over in 1 John chapter number 5 and verse number 4. And that reads on this line. Verse number 4, and it reads on this line, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Oh, I want you to grab that. It is our faith that is going to overcome and cause the children of God to overcome. And I'm going to get into the lesson right in just a moment, but I want to talk about that real quick, because the scripture clearly states that even in the last day, when Jesus is to return, he stated, will I find faith when he comes? And so your faith is sometime tried on every hand. But I come to share with you on today, that's one of the greatest elements that we have as the children of God is our faith. And so it's key as well as vital for you to hold fast to your faith, even when everything else seems as though that it is escaping you, walking out on you, losing and feeling the loss all around you. God want me to speak to somebody today and even to myself to remember and to rehearse the word of God that is going to be according to our faith. So be it unto us. And it's going to be our faith, child of God, as never before, that is going to be key in these latter days. Now, let us look further into the lesson. And I want you to guard your faith, hold fast to your faith, which have great recompense of reward. It will bring forth a reward unto the children of God. So let us look further. Jesus used parables and illustrations of nature in his teaching to demonstrate powerful spiritual truth that were both simple in application as well as profound in their depth of meaning. However, he also conveyed many truths by means of various events that occurred in the day-to-day life that he shared with his followers. His lessons deals with one such occurrence that parallels the life of a believer and contains spiritual principle essential to a Christian fulfilling God's purpose today. Now, throughout his ministry, Jesus used various examples of nature to emphasize spiritual principle. Most of the time, it was a spoken illustration of a particular teaching. However, on this occasion, it was the actual experience that served as an illustrated the truth he desired to convey at that particular time. Now, indeed, it was the mutuality shared experience of a sudden storm that became the vehicle for the lesson that was permanently inscribed in the minds of his disciples. Now, I want to stop right there for just a moment, because many of you that I am talking to right now, you may have experienced a life storm in your life, and you had seen God literally bless you and miraculously come through on your behalf right in the middle of that storm. Well, that's what I want to say today, that it is permanently inscribed in your mind of what God is able to do when a child of God is backed up against the wall. Now, such as it is, he is going to come through on the behalf of his people. And what we as the children of God must do is idle that we do it, is imperative that we do, is that we keep our faith out before the Lord and letting God know in every step of the way that I'm trusting you, I'm depending on you, I need you each and every hour, every minute of the day, even this undertaking that you're doing. God, I want you to be in the center of it all, that you will enable us, that you will help us, that you will fortify as well as strengthen we, your people. Oh, child of God, that's how we operate even in our faith, trusting that God will help us and empower and enable the child of God to do what he said he was going to do. So that's why sometimes storms come into our lives to leave a spiritual imprint of the miraculous power of God. The miraculous power of God. And so once a child of God sees that, then they know without a shadow of a doubt, if God did it before, he'll do it again in and through the lives of his people. Now, let's look in the analogy, the encounters with the adversary that caused storms of life. It possessed the potential both to destroy or to enhance the faith of a child of God. It is safe to say that the entry of the created world serves the ultimate purpose of God, and that it was one vast proving ground by which God can determine the spiritual quality of the heart of a child of God. This proving takes place through the storms of ultimate, infinite kind and degree. The way a person reacts to these storms indicate their spiritual quality of an individual heart. So here, when we're going through this storm, it is going to indicate where we at spiritually with God. And so it's mindful for us that in the midst of chaos, and many times I tell the saints, and I try to make it as plain that a fool need not err. If it looked toe up from the flow up, jacked up to the curve, all messed up, out of hand, and greatly challenged on every hand, I want you to know that at the trying of your faith, are you going to trust God? Or are you going to believe the report that you're looking at right before you? I come to encourage your faith, our faith, that we are going to trust God in spite of what the report may say. Oh, come on and shout hallelujah. Now, in the natural realm, storms are not without benefit. First, life depends on the moisture that is brought by a storm. Second, storm can have the effect of cleansing or purifying the atmosphere. They can also be the means by which whereby plant life is strengthened by causing roots to grow deeper into the ground. Without a significant root system, a tree would not be able to survive. In a sense, storms can have a certain purging effect, in that they can wash away debris and dead plant life, and we can all relate to the fresh, clean air that follows after a storm has passed. Storms can also bring about destruction and misery. Nowhere in this is more obvious than in the aftermath of a hurricane or tornado. One could say that in the process of producing some benefits, a storm first must produce some degree of destruction. Certainly, following the flood of Noah's days, a storm of global proportion, the entire earth was cleansed and renewed. Although the immediate effect on the earth was death and destruction, the ultimate effect was a new world that bore a faint resemblance to that world before the flood. Understanding how storms in the natural sense can be beneficial as well as destructive, we can readily see the events of Mark chapter 4, verse 35 and 41 are a powerful allegory to the life of a child of God who is dedicated to glorifying Jesus Christ. Now, let us take and look further. Now, on to the other side. Following Jesus' orders, at Jesus' direction, the disciples set a sail for the other side of the Sea of Galilee. They set out to fulfill the command that Jesus had given them. The disciples' willingness to obey is an example to believers today. Our greatest desire should be to do the will of God. Now, to understand the purpose of a storm as they benefit the people or befall the people of God, it is first necessary that we understand the purpose of the church. In Luke chapter 19 and 10, Jesus told his disciples that his purpose in coming was to seek and to save that which was lost. Since the day of Pentecost, the church of Jesus Christ has assumed that same purpose and responsibility that Jesus had in the days of his flesh. This is the reason that the church exists on the earth. To be a member of the church of Jesus Christ is to share in the fulfilling the responsibility of winning the lost to Jesus Christ. The true believers feel this responsibility deeply. Let us look further on to the other side. Jesus charted their course. Jesus had a definite plan in mind, and it was in consideration of his plan that he charted the course he and his disciples were to follow. Things do not happen randomly in the life of a child of God. God has a plan for his children as they seek to integrate themselves into the overall purpose of the church. Now, every member of the body of Christ has an individual ministry, a distinct set of talents and ability that are to be used in enabling the church to fulfill its purpose. Some members have musical ability. Others possess the ability to teach. Still others God called to the pulpit ministry. We are not saved to be spectators, but active participants in bringing lost men and women to Christ, to the truth of the only gospel that saves. The effectiveness of our individual ministry is shaped to a great degree by the storms that we encounter in life. Let us look further. Now, faith when all looks well. Now, as the ship set sail, the sea was calm and the wind was gentle and blowing in the optimal direction. Things was going well and was easy to believe that things was going to according to the plan because it all seemed so logical. Faith is easy when things make sense and when things are going the way we want them to go. However, when things do not make sense or when things are not going our way, our faith is called into question. What's happening there? Here, the disciple might have said to the storm begin to develop, how are we going to make it to the other side when we are in danger of capsizing? These kinds of questions are born out of a carnal logic. Likewise, we tend to ask why when things do not go the way we think they should go and do not seem to make sense. Why do storms come into our life today when it seems that the exact opposite is what we really need? God sees things from a very different perspective than we do. His actions are based on his perspective of what is in our best interest. Our gospel songwriter penned the word, when I thought I needed sunshine, the good God sent the rain. When I thought I needed healing, I had my share of pain. When I was looking for the mountaintop, but a valley was all I could see, Jesus always seems to know exactly what I need. These words not only depict the situation as it truly is, but it also illuminated the intense need that we have to trust God completely, even when our situation defies human logic. And through the medium of the storm of life, our trust in the Lord is anchored even deeper, even deeper. Now, let's take a shift and look a little further. Now, we've seen on the way to the other side. And now let's take a look at the great storm as we get a greater understanding as what was going on. Now, there arose a great storm. Suddenly, without warning and without expectation, a great storm arose. The disciples struggled to prevent their ship from capsizing. What had begun as a peaceful routine crossing of the sea was transformed into a storm of possible destruction and even death by drowning. Jesus was still on board, to be sure, but this just made what was happening all the more confusing. After all, we think that things like this are not supposed to happen when Jesus is on board. The disciple probably wonder, why isn't he in control? And so sometimes even in our lives and things, it seems as though we may think, now, why is this happening to my life? Because I've given my life to the Lord. Now, why is all this going on when I'm living to bring glory and to bring honor unto the Lord our God? We must recognize these storms, again, they are shaping and molding our lives. Not only are they shaping and molding our lives, but they're also cleansing, and they're also moving out the spiritual debris that are in our lives. Let us look further. The storms of life occur with such suddenness that often we are caught off guard, and usually we just as confused as the disciple because we too think that Christ's presence should prevent problems like this from happening. But some storms are natural occurrence of life, and it has nothing to do with whether or not a person is a believer. Jesus said he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Matthew 5 and verse 45. There may be sickness or loss of loved ones, financial hardship, the domestic strife, loss of a job. Indeed, the list can go on and varied of different and many difficulties that a person faces because they are human. Now, the child of God are no exception, but there is a difference in that the true child of God has the presence of Jesus Christ in his life, in their life, both to comfort them and to enable them to survive the storms of life. But what if we don't feel confident? We might ask that this is where our faith must endure its greatest test, even when you don't feel comfortable, even though when you don't feel confident, we must allow our faith to endure this greatest test. Now let's look at First John chapter number 5 and verse 4. It said, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Okay, here it is. Our faith is going to even overcome this world. Now that is something great that God has given unto the children of God. In essence, you can say in the spiritual realm, you are a multimillionaire in the spiritual realm because of your faith and how you use your faith. Amen. Oh, child of God, hold fast to your faith. It said, we must rely on the promises of Jesus Christ that he will never leave us or forsake us if we would survive the storms of life. We all like to feel good, and there are times when we will feel very good, but feelings are transit and fleeing. One moment you'll feel on the mountaintop, And maybe the next day you may feel like as though that you are experiencing utter destruction or defeat. We must recognize it's not what we feel, but it's what we believe. It's according to your faith. So be it unto you. And what do you do in those moments? Well, that's when we begin to speak our faith into the atmosphere, and our faith begins to change the molecules of the circumstances and situation. Now, hear how it happened. Because the scripture says that God watches over his words to perform it. Okay. Case number one. Principle number one. When a child of God begins to speak their faith in the atmosphere, God is watching over his word to perform it. And so once we begin to find ourselves in those difficult places, those challenging places, in darkness, not knowing where the answer or what's going to happen, we must begin to speak our faith, put it in the atmosphere. When you find yourself as though that there is no way out, it seems like it's no way out of no way, what we begin to do is say, Jesus, you are the way, you are the truth, and you are the life. Now, what you just did, you just send in the atmosphere, the profound divine word of God. God is watching over that word, and he is going to perform it. Since you put your faith to the fact that, yes, you're in a dilemma, yes, you find yourself, your hands are tied, but you're speaking what you know that is true, that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And so God is hearing that. He's seeing your faith. Now he's going to respond, because the scripture said, according to your faith, so be it unto you, according to your own earnest expectation. What are you expecting, God? Are you expecting God to make a way? Are you expecting God to do it? See, many times where the enemy trip us up as children of God, we think that we have to do it. We think sometimes that we are the one that are in total control. But even in that difficult situation, even if you have the skill and ability, I've learned, child of God, I have learned how to begin to say, God, you know, what do you want me to do? And what would you have me to do? Lord, how is this you going to bring this to pass? Lord, work it out according to your will and your plan and your purpose. We have to begin to speak out of our mouth, our faith, that God is going to do it. You may find yourself in a situation you don't know. All you have to do is say, God, I know God is going to do it. I know God is going to bring me out. I know God is going to work this thing out. I know that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to work this thing out on my behalf. That's where you speaking it into the atmosphere, and he is going to perform it. So what it says to God, it said that, oh, my daughter or my son is expecting me to divinely intervene, to divinely move, to come forth and divinely show myself mighty and great in their situation. And so now you have given him, God, the permission to come in and work things out on your behalf. Remember, the Holy Spirit is an enabler. He's a comforter. It is also what's going to lead and guide us even into all truth. It comes to help us and enable us. And so what God will quicken us and enable us to accomplish that job or whatever it is in your life. That's why we need the Holy Ghost. It comes to give us power, power to witness, power to enable the child of God to be the man or the woman that we are called to be, because Jesus knew that we could not do it by ourselves. And he told the disciple, go back to Jerusalem and tarry there and wait till you be endued with power, power from on high. And so I come to tell you and speak and set into your spirit. I'm not only going to speak it, but I want to set it into your spirit today. You have power. If you got that Holy Ghost residing down in your inward being, you have power. All you need to do is activate it and say through the Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, have your way. Holy Ghost, work it out and begin to activate activated and allow the Holy Ghost empower me. Lord, I need the power to overcome this. You said my faith is going to overcome even the world. But Father, I find myself struggling, Lord, in this particular area, in this particular thing that's coming up against me. But God, I'm looking to you. Lord, let the Holy Ghost reign and be reign supreme in my life and show yourself mighty and show yourself great. Come on and shout hallelujah. Put your hands together. I feel the anointing power right now exuding in this airway. Oh, child of God. I feel the power of God raising up. I feel somebody having like a Mary and a Elizabeth experience right now, that your Holy Ghost just leaped up in your spirit and you gotten that power, and I feel a quickening power through this airway today. Oh, my. Do it, Jesus. There may be somebody on the line right now and listening to the airway right now. I just feel the Holy Ghost says, stop the lesson for a moment and be in agreement. God, I'm in agreement right now by the power that you have invested in me in the name of Jesus. Whoever is on this line, whoever you allow to listen to this, Lord, session, I touch and agree right now for the miracle. I touch and agree right now for the door being open according to Isaiah 22:22. I command, oh God, a ram in the bush for that individual that's needing a ram in the bush, that one that needs a financial blessing. God, right now we touch and agree, God. Tickets coming forth, Lord, ways being made, Lord, for your children on today. God, we not only teaching today, but we believing, we putting our faith back in front of the situation, our faith, oh God, saying that you are Jehovah Shammah, God, that you are El Shaddai, that you are the great El Am, the Jehovah Jireh, that will be our provider, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, block the adversary, block the hand, Lord, of that one that's trying to stop it from flowing to your people, God. And Father, we thank you for your guardian angel. We thank you for your ministering angels, God. We thank you, oh God, for your warring angels that will raise up, and we send them forth, God, to go forth and gather that which we have need of and bring it to us, God. Bring it to our children, to your children. And Father, we thank you. Oh, come on, child of God. I felt the miracle right there in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I decree it done. I declare it done. I declare no hellbound demon can stop it. And I seal it with the blood of Jesus, of Christ of Nazareth. Come on, children of God, and shout your hand, throw your hand up and shout, hallelujah. Oh, ratapo shanda. Hallelujah. Oh, I've just felt someone pulling on the Holy Ghost right there. I felt a miracle right there in the name of Jesus. I call it done by the power that's vested in me on today. Oh, my. Send me the email and let me know what God did. Send me the testimony of what he did. Amen, amen. And my email address is Helen Orme, HELENORME at MSN.com. Amen. You send me that email, and I sure enough want to hear what God has done, the miracle that God has performed. Let us look further here. Let us look further as we try earnestly to get back to this lesson. I tell you, child of God, I feel a shout coming on in my spirit. Amen. I want to say, hold my mule. I feel a Shabbat down in my heart because God is going to do it. According to your faith, so be it unto you. However, our faith must remain stable and constant. When we learn to rely on faith and not on feelings, we will have learned the secret of surviving every storm. And I want to say that again because I wanted you to get this, and I want you to grab a hold of this. And I want you to hear. And I say, Lord, everyone that have an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, let them grab it right now, Lord. Move every hindrance as I speak it again into the spirit of your people. It says, when we learn how to rely on faith and not on feelings, we have learned the secret of surviving every storm. Oh, come on, child of God. I know you may not know how to swim. You may not know how to backstroke, and you may not even know how to tread water. But I come to tell you, in the midst of your storm, all you need to do is rely upon your faith and speak it in the atmosphere that God is going to do it. God got your back. He got your side and your front. Oh, my God, my God. I just feel a miracle right there. I'm trying to make it through this lesson today, but I just feel just a special anointing. And I'm just going to deviate for just one moment. I want to just share, we have been having such an awesome time at our church. I tell you, we've been praying. We have been calling on the name of the Lord, and we've been crying out to God. And I tell you, a couple of Sundays ago, God shown one of the minister, associate minister, how that he has sent three angels into our midst. Amen. We've seen the evidence of their feathers being there in our midst. And I tell you, child of God, God will send his angel to you and help. And I tell you, I believe someone's angel has been sent out today to get whatever you have need of and fight your battle. Now, the disciples, as we try to get back to the lesson on today, the disciple was very fearful. It said because of the severity of the storm, the possibility of capsizing, the disciple was clearly afraid. They were wondering if Jesus really cared about their faith. The enemy seeks to use the storms that occur in our life as a means to discourage us, influence us against God. But we must resist the temptation to submit to carnal human logic. Satan's goal is to cause the believer to become so discouraged that they quit serving God. He tries to cause them to view the storm with human logic instead of trusting in the wisdom and the promises of God. He seeks to persuade people that God is either overtly against him or does not care. If he cannot succeed in destroying their faith in God, he will seek to neutralize their effectiveness of their faith by weakening their faith. It is imperative that we know beyond doubt that adversity does not mean abandonment. Okay? Now let me go and let us dissect that and unpack that for just a moment and think. And let's look at the tactics of the adversary so that you can understand, you know, it's not really your sister, it's not really your brother, it's not really the test or the trial that you're going through, but it's really the adversary that's trying to weaken your faith and to neutralize your effectiveness in your faith in God. So he's not really coming to really destroy your faith. Catch this. But he's coming to weaken your faith and your effectiveness in what God has called you to do. So he will want you to stay weak. He wants you to stay in a position of infirmity and things so that you cannot use your faith effectively to pull down out of heaven the things that you have need of, or trusting in the promises of God, or relying on the gifts that God has given unto you. But he wants to weaken that and cause that to become infirmed and to overthrow that. But I come to you tonight to share with you on today and things that the child of God will do it on your behalf, and just hold fast as never before, because it's imperative that we know beyond the shadow of a doubt that this adversary or adversity does not mean that God have abandoned you and things. Use your faith to birth it out. Use your faith to do what God is wanting you to do. Now, let me share a testimony of my and things. even when I was going to school and things, I would write on my the date of graduation. I wrote it on the calendar. I will graduate on that day. Now, that was years before even graduation took place. I sent my faith down through the line of time and said that I will be there on that day. And so we must send our faith down the line of time of what you believe in God for, or even right where you're at. Send forth your faith. Look at Moses. Jesus spoke to him when he got backed up against that wall and when he was taking the children of Israel over. God said, Moses, what do you have in your hand? And Moses said, all I have is a rod. He didn't have the Golden Great Bridge. He didn't have a staff. He didn't have even a boat. He didn't have a canoe. He didn't even have a life jacket. All he had was in his hand was a rod. And such as it is, God told him to stretch forth that rod. And so as it is, I'm speaking to you today. God is saying, stretch forth your faith as never before and believe him. Now help me, if you pray for me, to help me to get through this lesson, because there's some good stuff here and I want you to get it all and be blessed. Now Jesus was weary and asleep, but he did care. Now let's look. As a man, Jesus was subject to the same weariness and that befall all people. In the weariness of his flesh, he went to sleep. But we can be certain that as God, he never tired or never sleep. Psalms 121:4, behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Now, the Bible contains innumerable passages that assures us of the continuing vigilance of God, his protecting power, and his faithfulness. These wonderful promises enable the people of God to rest in the knowledge of his increasing, unceasing love and care. God cares, and we should refuse to interpret adversity as abandonment by God. Nothing could be further from the truth. It is all part of the process by which God proves and strengthens our faith. As James stated, the trying of our faith is the purpose of creating patience. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. James chapter number 1, verse number 3 through 4. Now, Jesus stills the storm. What God desires from each of his children is ultimate trust. No matter how deceptive appearance may be, he has chosen to do so. Jesus Christ has the power to prevent the storm from ever occurring. However, within the plan of God, this particular storm was destined to prove a backdrop for Christ to teach a great threefold lesson both to his disciple and to all the church. Now, let's take a look at the threefold. Number one, Christ had greater power than the forces of the nature. Number two, the absolute control over the most perilous situations and circumstances. Three, he is the key of our trust, no matter what circumstances we may face. So those threefold points and lesson that Christ wants us to get is key. He had power over all force of nature. Number two, he has absolute control of circumstances. Number three, that he's worthy of our trust, and no matter what the circumstances we may face. Now let's look at the wind ceased and the sea became calm. Now, by virtue of the same creative force by which God brought into existence of the physical world, Jesus issued a single command that the wind immediately ceased. Now, when Jesus said, peace be still, the sea immediately became calm. In the midst of adversity, the presence of the Lord in our trust in his power and wisdom can bring calm to our own spirit as well. In Matthew 11, 28 and 29. Now, I want to stop there because we want to be able to share that this peace is key, is that we must calm our spirit when we find ourselves walking into circumstances and situations that comes to try our own very faith. The first thing we must do is speak peace to ourselves and calm our spirit and say, okay, Jesus, what is going on? Help me in this circumstances and situation. We must begin to speak to our hearts and mind and minister to ourselves first. Remember, even when you're traveling on the airplane, they always say in the event of an emergency, the compartments over your head will drop down the oxygen mask. It said first put on the oxygen mask first on yourself, then help someone else. So what we have to do when you walk into a circumstance that is taking you over and you wasn't totally prepared for that, first of all, put the spiritual mask back on yourself. Get you some spiritual oxygen by saying, okay, Lord, you know, I'm coming to you. Holy Ghost, have your way here. I don't know what's going on. Help me and things. Yes, we must stay focused, but then too, we must rely upon the power of the Holy Ghost to enable us, because we do have, even in our own being, sometimes have to calm our own hearts. And we got to say, okay, Holy Ghost, help me, because I've never been in this situation before. I don't know what's getting ready to happen, but Lord, help me. Show me what I must do. Speak the word. Put the word in my mouth, because we may step in a situation that we don't know. Now, Matthew chapter 11, 8 and 29, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. Now, the reassurance of the Holy Ghost and the truth of the Word of God becomes the foundation of our focus and resolve to press forward relentlessly to accomplish God's will. Now, the disciples needed to have their faith permanently anchored in the promises of God in order to fulfill the monumental test that laid ahead of them. Now, let's take a look. We must anchor our faith in the promise of God that he said he was going to do it. That goes beyond just believing, but actually placing our trust in anchoring our trust in the promises of God. Now, if they were an assault, if they were to assault the gate of hell and prevail, they needed to be fortified with certainty and power to the extent far beyond anything they have known or expected. This episode served to accomplish their faith beyond all contradiction, because they had to have faith that was coming up, where that even the gates of hell, when it comes up against them, will not prevail against them. That's what God was preparing the disciples for, that was going to try to prevail against them. But because the trying of their faith preceded that time, God was preparing them. If the church of today can acquire that kind of faith, the possibility of reaping of a harvest of soul in these last days will be virtually unlimited. Now, let's look at on the other little ships. Now, the benefit received on that, not isolated to the disciples themselves, for there were other little ships that's in the areas as well. When the sea became calm for the disciples on the other ships, also became a benefactor of Christ's power. So it was not only them, the disciple, benefiting from what was taking place, but we must recognize that even the little ships and other ships that was around them was being benefited from what God was doing and the power of Christ right there on behalf of the disciple. And I come to tell you that even the benefit is going to not only be in your house, it's going to vibrate and be permeated throughout the lives of others that are around you, that they are going to be affected by the miracle that God is doing in your life. Now, the promise and the power of Jesus Christ extend beyond the immediate area circumference of the child of God and spills over into the lives of others of this generation as well. Even though the church is about 2,000 years removed from the day that it was born, its mission remained the same as it was on the day of Pentecost. And because of its mission is the same, the ability of God's power and anointing likewise remain the same. Contrary to the thinking of a few, the supernatural anointing of the Holy Ghost have not been withdrawn from the true church of Jesus Christ. But tapping into the power requires the same kind of faith that turned the world upside down in the days of the early church. Now, let's look at the storms of life. There shall always be storms. For the moment we draw our first breath as a newborn infant until the day our heart beats its last, we face encounters with adversity that we think of as storms of life. It is a part of the being human from which there is no escape. These storms are going to happen whether we like it or not. While it is true that some storms are avoided, others are as certain as the rising and the setting of the sun. Now let's look at the storm that comes. The storms of life will be incredibly varied in their nature and intensity. Let's look here. Number one, storms caused by others. Some storms occur as a result of the fallen nature of man with its attendant weaknesses and prejudice, envy, anger, arrogance, and ignorance, and hatred. All these aspects of the carnal nature and many others are the responsibility for the storms of life, the persecution that have suffered because of a person's race or nationality or religious belief have affected the lives of countless millions as witnessed in the attempt of many other things that we can look back into history. Moreover, those who strive to serve Jesus Christ according to the scripture are not immune to the storms of persecution. Indeed, alliance to the truth of the scripture often provoke persecution in one form or another, or even by other members even in the Christian community. Let's look further. Number two, self-inflicted storms. Some storms are results of our ignorance or folly. We all make mistakes in life that are the results of our immaturity, ignorance, or disregard for what God's word may say. Such mistakes produce results that cause great pain for us or for others. Indeed, the follies in which a person indulges may affect many people and result in a storm of guilt and a shame, which is the residual or the aftermath that will haunt that person all their life. So it is uncomfortable for us to recognize and admit our own faults and failures and weaknesses, it is often provoke us in a greater dependency on the strength of God. Now, these here example of self-inflicted storms are many and can either destroy a person or motivate them to depend more wholly on God and achieve the purpose of God in their life. They can become an occasion of greater spiritual growth than would have occurred otherwise. For God has a way of converting our weaknesses into the display of his power and fulfillment of his will. Samson's folly reduced him to a level scarcely above a beast of burden. But God used Samson's folly as a means to wreak great destruction on the Philistines. See Judges 13-13. Now, in 2 Samuel 11, David's sin with Bathsheba produced an incredible anguish of the soul, a personal storm of immense proportion as reflected in the book of Psalms. But it also caused him to seek the face of God with a renewed intensity. See Psalms 38, verse 51. Now, David's writing gives us a legacy that grants us deep insight into the love as well as the mercy of God. It is truly marvelous how God converts human weaknesses and failure into occasion that ultimately give him glory and achieve his purpose. Now, number three, storms God sends. Even every Christian is unique and have individual talents of ministry or purpose in God's overall plan for reaching the lost. But for a believer to grow into God's purpose for their life, they must be faithful through the storms that he may encounter or they may encounter. Storms of life, they shape and horn an individual into a person capable of fulfilling God's will. So that storm is shaping and forming you to be able to fulfill God's will. Every storm becomes a classroom as we learn and develop into a fruitful vessel of Christ. Sometimes God himself sends the storm as he did when he was preparing Jonah to preach to the citizen of Nineveh. The important thing is not the source of the storm, whether it is the circumstances of life or the consequences of our own folly or whether God sent it itself. The important thing is what the storm does for us. Number two, what we learn from it. Number three, how it affects us. And number four, the results of our encounter with the adversity. Are we more dependent on the Lord? Do we have a greater faith and greater understanding of his truth? Are we more capable of ministering to others? In our storm, is our faith increased or made perfect through this storm? How will we interact with others as a result of the storm that we have just been through? And many times that storm brings a greater compassion, a greater sensitivity of those that are going through the same storm that you just came out of. Now let's look here. Christ is on board. Regardless of what kind of storm the believer encounter, whether it's a storm that befalls all mankind or a storm that is unique to the believer, the truth of God are absolute. Remembering these truths and embracing them with the heart are the secret of personal survival and fulfilling the ultimate purpose of God. This is what faith is really all about. Number one, Jesus is the master of every situation. Jesus is always on board as we seek to do his will and steering of the ships of our lives towards the other side, where we still will reap the reward of eternal life. He is perpetually present in the lives of the believer and is in control of every situation. Number two, Jesus brings peace in the midst of our storm. Even as Stephen was being stoned in Acts chapter 7, Christ was very much on board in the final few moments of his life. The peace that Stephen felt as he looked up into heaven was reflected in his countenance. His face resembled that of an angel. He had such peace that he could ask God to lay not this sin to their charge. Number three, Jesus cares for us and will not allow our storms to overcome us. When the Apostle Paul endured persecution for the cause of the gospel, Jesus Christ was very much on board throughout all his suffering. It is probably that all the apostles expect John was as a martyr for the gospel. Some were subject to the terrible torture, including John. But in every situation, Jesus Christ was on board to see them through to the other side. We can be sure that he is faithful to his children today, and as he was in the early church of the early days of the church. It is certainty that he will never leave us or forsake us. He cares for us. No one else could, no matter what our circumstances of life may be. Jesus is ordering our lives. He will see us through. We may or may not have to die for the name of Jesus Christ, but he loves us, and the things that happen to us ultimately fit his master plan. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1 and 6. And I come to tell someone today, Jesus has begun a good work in your life, and he is the one that's going to perform it. Well, we get up every day, we should say, God, Lord Jesus, perform it in my life today, your goodwill and your plan and your purpose. This is the confidence we can rest in, no matter how severe the storm may be that we face in this present world. We have an assurance that Jesus Christ is on board. Now, in my conclusion, the storms that befall a child of God are for a purpose. When a storm occurs in the life of a believer, it is certain that the potential both for destruction and for strengthening or enhancing life. It is important to remember that the storms are not random and indiscriminated occurrence of chance in life of a believer. They are a part of complex, intrinsic plan that God has for each of his child to shape and to mold them into the vessel that they will be fruitful for the kingdom. Indeed, Jesus said in John 15 and 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that he beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. This purging takes place by means of many and varied storms of life, and have the effect of removing unfruitful vessels and making fruitful vessels even more fruitful. And so that storm that you may be experiencing is making you more fruitful in the things of God. In Luke 8 and 12, Jesus spoke of those who will begin to serve the Lord, but in times of trial will fall away because they had no roots. These times of trials are allegorious to the storms of life and are the means whereby the church is purged of unfruitful, and the roots of those who with an honest and a pure heart are made to go deeper so that they might become more fruitful. During such times, one true spiritual priority surface, and the true child of God seeks refuge in the Word of God and will seek a closer walk with God through prayer and fasting. The believer becomes like the fruitful tree described in Psalms 1, verses 1 through 3. And it reads, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. According to Psalms 1, verses 1 through 10. Child of God, as we get ready to close this lesson, I want to say I thank God that I had an opportunity to be there with you in your home on today. I pray that you have been blessed. I pray that this word find a root in your heart and for you to recognize and know every storm that you face is a storm that is strategically placed and allowed by God, whether it's through your folly, through your own mistakes, through your own decision, or the ones that even God allow, God will take every one of those storms to mold and to shape you into that man or the woman of God that God is calling you to be and to bring forth those fruits. And so be encouraged. Stay in the Word. Continue to pray and continue to fast and continue to watch and pray. And so in my closing, I will always say, if you don't have it, God got it, and you are just one miracle and through one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. For everyone that asks, receive it, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be open. Or what is a man of you that who, if his son asks bread, will he not give it to you? And oh, if he asks a fish, will he give a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask? And so in my conclusion, go back and ask the Father. He wants to give it to you. He wants to open it unto you. And he wants you to continue to seek, because you're going to find it. Father, we thank you for this moment. We thank you for this time. We thank you for what you're doing in and through the lives of your people. We thank you for stirring even our faith, my faith, the people who have on this block lesson today, their faith. Continue to bless our faith and strengthen us. And, Lord, help us to be cognitive of our own very follies. And we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Truly, it was a blessing to be with you on today. May the blessings of the Lord continue to make you rich and add no sorrow. Until we meet again, may God richly, richly bless you, is my prayer. Bye-bye, and God bless you.